Father, without you, we can do nothing. So I ask that your anointing be upon us as we not only receive your word, but at the same time be aware of your grace and your mercy, which sustains us every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. The word that the Lord pressed into my heart this morning was Isaiah chapter 1. So I would like you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. And to really understand, the Holy Spirit is really pressing in on Isaiah concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And he's really had quite a commission from God to awaken to some truth. And our God never changes. He's always trying to wake us up to something greater than what we've understood or known before. So, I'd like to start with verse 15. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice and encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing, so verse 19 is very triggery here. You need to be remembering that there's a willingness on the part of the saint to receive. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. So there's a choice and there's a response. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now this is a man, and he's very average, and he's talking to the king, but he's saying the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So those are not his words, those are the words of the Lord coming to change the way he thinks, the way he acts, and the way he reacts. Last week, the message that the Lord gave me was very harsh about growing up and maturing. And if you didn't take that as a work of God to mature you, you're going to try to do it yourself. How many know we try to do a lot on our own? And we usually don't succeed very well. Because when we do it, it's made out of flesh. But when the Holy Spirit does it, made from heaven. And the results are going to be different. If you and I construct something out of the natural realm, it's going to eventually decay and wear out, and it's going to go into the dust. But if it's created by heaven, it's going to be eternal. So we are eternal beings being recreated in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus, and it's going to be done by the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be done by flesh. Otherwise, it's going to be very temporary. And you're going to get very dissatisfied, not only with yourself, but you're going to see yourself constantly harassing yourself to try to become perfect on your own. Anybody relate? Perfection is a work from God, done by God, and it's an eternal work, not something that you and I can produce on our own. Otherwise, who would need the Lord? Amen? Okay. So, verse 21 talks about the city, so let's go a little bit and take a look. See how the faithful city has become a harlot. In other words, he's talking about Jerusalem changing her course. She once was full of justice, righteousness, used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your choice wine diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels. Champions of thieves. They love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless, the widow's case, does not come before them. Therefore, the Lord Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel, declares, Ah, I will get relief from my foes and avenge myself of my enemies. Verse 25 is very important. He said, I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove your impurities. Notice who's doing the work? The Lord is doing the work. I will restore your judges as in the days of old, your counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards, you will be called the city of righteousness and the city or faithful city. So, you can see what he's planning here. He's planning to see the whole of Jerusalem fall apart, become a harlot, and then be transformed. And it's all done by his work, not by flesh. Now, there's a level of maturity in even the city of Jerusalem. The city of Zion, which is really the very top part of the hill. And it says Zion will be redeemed with justice. Her penitent ones with righteousness. But rebels and sinners will both be broken, and those who forsake the Lord will perish. You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks in which you have delighted. You will be disgraced because of the gardens that you have chosen. You will be like an oak with fading leaves, like a garden without water. The mighty man will become tinder, and his work a sparks. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire. Now, you want to go to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, This was what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the last days. Are we living in the last days? Yes, we are. Ever since Christ Jesus came, we're living in the last days. We've got 2,000 years under our belt. Okay? The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Now, this week, Gail sent me an email that King David's palace has been located in Jerusalem. And it's driving a lot of great men and women with a lot of head knowledge up what? Calvary's tree. Because now there's proof that King David was really there. They even found, I believe it's some kind of an emblem, and they've studied it, and it proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the scripture where King David got a message from a special messenger, and it's from a different king in a different nation. And it's really irritating those that think that Israel doesn't really have a background with kings and a lot of influence in the nations in the past. In fact, some of these great men really believed that the king of Israel, meaning Jesus, wasn't really a king. They also believed that King David wasn't really a king. And now, their artifacts are proving the opposite. So what do you think happens to those people when they have the confrontation of these relics that are now found and they have to put up with the truth? Did you ever have to put up with the truth that you just had a problem with and God is finally getting inside of you and he's saying to you, look, change your mind about this. I want to heal you. I want to set you free. I want to turn all of the things that have caused you to be in discouragement and in oppression. And I want to really get through to you. And that's God's plan for every single one of us. That's God's plan to change our way of thinking. Because we have a habit of thinking the way we have always thought. Or we've been trained to think. And God says, but I've got a different opinion. Okay? He can do something miraculous for you. Again, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. Now, I want to get one word here that might be helpful to you. I didn't understand for years that the house of Jacob was really the house of flesh. When you recognize that Jacob was a man of flesh, God changed his name after he had a war with the Lord. And the angel of the Lord declared to him, you're no longer to be called Jacob, you're to be called Israel, which is a prince with God, or a son of God. So God is after changing what? Us. He's trying to change us from men of flesh to men of the Spirit. Last week, there was a mighty vision that was given to my friend John when I was communicating with him this week. And the vision showed that his spirit man was having a growth. And that growth was like a shoot. And it had like string beans, if I remember correctly. And there were seeds inside, but they were spiritual seeds. Now, Dale, you're the one that had the vision? Or Peggy? You had the vision. Okay. So, John and I are talking about this week. Because John is a very, I shouldn't say carnal. He's a man in a war right now. Okay? No different than you and I have been in a war. How many have ever had a war with your brain? Thank you. So you're normal. And he's normal too. And our conversation was going in different directions, and all of a sudden I'm reminding him. I said, but John, the spirit part of you has got new growth. He says, yeah, but I'm not catching on. I said, well, you will. Go back over the vision. Recognize that there were seeds of life coming out of you. Now, the tree stump today, the same message. What was cut down is going to have new growth. It's going to grow again. Okay? I've been there. Why? Because God is looking to recreate from what you were into something brand new, no different than in Isaiah's day. God does not change. He took Jacob, a man of flesh, and he made him into a prince with God. So look at your neighbor. Say, you were a person of flesh, and God is trying to make you a person of the Spirit. Are you catching on? And it's a work done by God. It's a work done so marvelously that you and I could never compete. But we have a habit. I can do this job all by my... Anybody relate? I have a little great-granddaughter. She's 2.5 in a couple of weeks. She gives us instructions on how to deal with her. What she wants, and when she wants it. Anybody got a clue for what I'm trying to get to you? At 2.5, she can train her mother and her father, her great-grandparents, and anyone else that gets in her way. Why? Why? Go ahead. She thinks she's boss. Does she believe she's boss? Yes, she does. Is she convinced? Who's the one that has to change her heart? Yeah, because she can get herself into some deep, hot water. Like the other day, she decided that she wanted to go swimming ahead of schedule. So she tried to climb over the fence at 2.5. Now, she didn't have any basic training in fence climbing that I know of. Did she need to be trained to climb over the fence? Who's the one that's teaching her that she can climb over the fence? Who is that got the job to train her in not climbing the fence? And who's the Lord over her life? The officials that are around her. Amen? So God used her mother to readjust her thinking. Did your mother ever get used to readjust your thinking? Did you at one time think you could climb over the fence? Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, we all came from where? Rebellion, lawlessness, and selfishness. Anybody relate? Okay, if you came from there, how come you need to be changed? And how can you be changed? You say, I'm old, I can't be changed. Well, I got news for you. Jacob was old, he had a whole family. He had 12 kids or 10 kids at the time, and he got changed. So look at your neighbor and say, you're not too old to be changed by God. He's got a plan to change you and make you into a person of the Spirit for His glory. Not for you, but for Him. Amen. Now, he said, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His path. The law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nations, nor will they train for war anymore. Who's going to do the work? The Lord. How's He going to do it? He starts by you and me. He starts by changing us. He starts by giving us a challenge to let Him do a work in us. I was communicating with someone this morning and I was reminding that person, Peter couldn't put himself together. He couldn't even pull himself together. Peter had denied the Lord, he had made a mess, he had created something impossible, and the Lord was not giving up on him. In fact, the Lord even went and cooked breakfast for him. And the Lord comes over, and Peter is aware that it's the Lord, and he says these wonderful words, get away from me. I'm unholy. Get away from me. I'm not good enough. I've got news for you. He'll come into your backyard. He may break breakfast for you. And He may challenge you. And you may feel that you're unworthy or believe that you're unworthy, but that doesn't mean that you aren't. He knows what's inside of you more than you know about what's inside of yourself. He knows the flaws. He knows the good stuff. He knows all the things that are in you that are worth what? The valuable stuff is worth saving. The other stuff is worth delivering. Yes.
Last July 1st, day 4 of 4th, my daughter, she's 11, and she came out of her room, and it was just her and I were at the house, and she was crying. I said, Lexi, what's wrong? She came into the kitchen, and she felt bad because she's calling her friends, and her friends aren't calling her back, you know, sending her emails, and she feels like, you know, that she's not going to be able to do anything or hang out with her friends or something. She felt bad about it. She started crying. So right away I'm thinking, okay, let me call my wife, and my wife's a teacher and assistant, so she knows some girls, and maybe we can, you know, try to set it up that they can come over to the house. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit told me, just something told me to stop, not to do that. And instead, take your daughter into the living room and pray for her instead. So that's what I did. I said, Lexi, you know what? Let's go into the living room and pray. And I prayed with her, and I told her that when you pray, we need to believe that God can do it. And even as I said it, the devil was telling me, are you sure you want to do this? Because if you do it and it doesn't work, you know, it's going to get rebellious. But I said, we're going to pray. So we did. And that was Friday night. Saturday, the next day, her friends that she was in school with And my wife works, has a friend at school with her daughters. She got two phone calls the next day from a friend at school from another girl. So she ended up going over there and she had a good time. But it just proved to me, Ansel elected. She was very excited about it. She told her mom about it the next day that once I just left it in God's hands, instead of me trying to fix it, you could say that's coincidence that this happened, that her friends called, but I asked God to touch her friends, touch somebody, so that, you know, she could have somebody to play with. And, you know, I just felt like I had to share that.
That's the word, active in a home situation. And that's what he wants from each of every single one of us. There's not one of you that doesn't have a few challenges. There's not one of you that doesn't have a few areas that you'd like to be seeing changed. But the same Holy Spirit that guided our brother can guide you. Okay, go back, Lord. What is it that you want to do? How do you want to do it? How do you want me to go forward? And then let him do it. And you know, while you're waiting for him to do it, the mind goes into war games. But you need to stay focused on, yes, God, you said you were going to do something, and I'm trusting you to create something special for this problem. Amen? And amen. I want you to bow your heads. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would prompt those who have a need to go deeper into Isaiah and to look at how God solves problems. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the anointing of the Holy Spirit continue to refresh you as you go forward, knowing that God is unfolding mysteries in each and every one of us, every single day, for the glory of our God. And all of God's people said, and amen.